So now we're starting the Bhajan Rahasyam, Shashtayam Sadhan, Sayam Kaliya Bhajan Bhav. This is Sayam Kaliya Bhajan. This is analogous. This sixth level of Bhajan is analogous to the level of Bhava. From Ado Shvara Tata Sara Sangha Bhajan Kriya Narta Nirvati Tata Nishta Tato Ruchi, then after Ruchi comes Asakti, and after attachment or Asakti comes Bhav. And this is equivalent to the sixth Leela of the day, which is called Shayan, Shayan Leela, which runs in the evening time. It's, we say dusk, pastimes at dusk, D-U-S-K. Shayan Leela. We have Shayan Artik. I think you've heard this term, Shayan Artik, Kibajayo. So this is happening around sunset from 6 o'clock in the evening until 8:30 in the evening. This is called Shayan Kal. This is the pastimes at this time. So this is this chapter and the various verses in this chapter describe Nam Bhajan at the stage of Bhava. So this verse, this whole chapter, of course, is commentaries. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has realized commentaries on the sixth verse of Shikshastakam. And this verse is describing the visible manifestations of perfection. So this means that one may be on the level of Bhav, which is certainly the threshold of perfection. If you're at the doorstep, all you have to do is open the door and you're in the house. But if you haven't found the house and haven't found the street, and don't even have the address, then it'll be a little difficult to get into the house. You don't have the address of the house, you don't know the street, and you haven't found it. So this is these are the other stages, Ruchi, Asakti, etc. The level of Bhava, one is actually at the threshold of perfection, because Bhava means the doorway. You enter the door and you're in the house, and the house is the house of Prem, the house of loving service of the Lord. So this particular chapter, this is chapter 6 of Bhajan Rahasyam, and in this chapter 6, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives an explanation of the platform of Bhava, what is the kind of experience of one at the level of Bhava, which points us in the right direction. And our hankering or our desire, even at the beginning level, should be to attain this bhav, this prema, intense love for Krishna, Krishna prema. So this is the visible symptoms of perfection are described in the sixth verse of Shikshastakam. But as I mentioned, one may be on the level of bhav, but not display or exhibit any of the external symptoms of perfection. We see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, who is most tangible to many of us, at least others can see him in movies and whatnot, hear about it, his life from his followers. Srila Prabhupada was situated in the highest stage of Krishna Prema, certainly full of different bhavas. Different bhavas were, and divine raptures were moving in his heart, and activating him and inspiring him to preach and to teach and to chat and to sing and to lead and to guide his disciples and to help the world. But so it's no doubt that Prabhupada was situated in the topmost level of perfection. But he didn't, for the most part, exhibit any external symptoms of perfection. But internally, of course, we can judge by his activities also how perfect. And all his activities and his accomplishments were the proof of his perfection. But nevertheless, the standard symptoms of bhava, the sattvic bhavas or the external physical expressions of intense love for Krishna, or which is prema, or blossoming love, budding love or blossoming love of Krishna, which is bhava, Prabhupada didn't, except on a few occasions, display any of these symptoms of bhava. Tears falling from his eyes, hair standing, and then choked voice, trembling. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he's describing in the Shikshastakam, in the sixth verse, he's describing the external, the visible external symptoms. And of course, the Sahajiya class, though the imitators, those that take things cheaply, or they say sahaja means natural, they display these symptoms rather easily, because anyone can learn to cry. Actors and actresses and dramatists are very good at it. You can learn to laugh, cry, all these things. Even learn, and if you throw, put some chili powder in your eyes, you get a lot of tears to come out. But nevertheless, Lord Chaitanya is saying that this is something, this is a feature of devotion, these experiences, transformation to the heart. The heart actually melts as one advances in bhakti from ruchi to asakti to bhav. Then the heart becomes softer and softer. It starts, we use the term melting of the heart. It's not like ice cream melting in a hot day and flowing all over the table, losing its shape and losing its exceeding its borders. But it melts in terms of softening. The heart softens because Krishna starts to take hold of the heart. You start to experience a heart-to-heart relationship with Krishna. You feel the presence of the Lord in a very real and tangible way within. And that creates transformations in the mind and heart. In the mind and heart, which express themselves externally. So Lord Chaitanya is telling that. He says, "Oh my Lord, I'm so attached to you. You picked me up from this ocean of birth and death, Ayinandatana Shakinkaram. And you've accepted me as your Kinkara. You've accepted me, Ayananda Tanja Kinkara. You've accepted me as your servant, and you engaged me in an eternal service and loving mood, a friend or lover or parent. In this case, Kinkara means Kinkari, maidservant, Manjari. Now I'm serving your feet, and I'm serving you in so many ways as your maidservant, and a maidservant of your Radharani, Srimati Radharani. And as I serve you, and I serve Radharani, and this service relationship, which is based on love, by serving you and surrendering to you, I start to feel ecstasy. There's a transformation. I was serving for so long, but now I'm serving in a very intimate and personal way, at the level of beginning level of bhava. And now these things are happening. Nayanam galar dashadaryo vadanam gadgada vriyagira pulakar nichitam babu kada tava nama grahane bhavishyati. Tears are falling from my eyes, my voice is choking up, hairs in my body are standing on end, there's some bumps, goosebumps, or sometimes they say thrill bumps, or ecstatic bumps, this horripilation is called, of the skin. And I don't know how this is happening. I'm not forcing this, I'm not imitating this, I'm not making this happen. It's just your presence, your divine presence in my heart. And you have taken over my mind. You have conquered the kingdom of my heart. So my body and senses are responding to that in an uncontrollable way. It's called involuntary. We're not voluntarily crying. Now let's see. Okay, now I'll cry. It's called involuntary. Krishna makes it happen. We don't make it happen. If we make it happen, it's false. If Krishna makes this happen, it's true, it's real, it's a genuine symptom. Although this again is the external symptoms of bhava. So the translation of this verse, Nayanam galad ashudharya varanam gadgara vridyagira pulakar nichitam vapu kada tava namagrahane bhavishyati. O my Lord, O Nandanandan, when will tears flow from my eyes, my voice falter, and all the hairs on my body stand erect as I chant your name? So this is one of those verses that this word is there. It's a very common word in Sanskrit and also Bengali. Kada, kada, kada. Kada karishyasi imam kripa kataksha bhajanam. Have you heard this phrase? Kada karishyasi, kada kataksha. So when? Oh, Radharani, when will I receive your sidelong glance of mercy? So this is a very common word. When means hankering, hankering for, hoping to attain, looking out, looking for that, searching for, and looking for that stroke of mercy, that hand of mercy, that extended hand of mercy coming from the Lord, or His associates, from Radharani, or from the Mandris or Sakis, Rati Mandri, Rupa Mandri. When will you place your hand on my head? As Prahlad received the loving touch of Nrisinga on his head and became divinely inspired during the Nrisinga Leela. Nrisinga put his lotus hand on Prahlad's head and he became so inspired and started reciting Sanskrit stutis. So when will this happen to me? We're chanting Hare Krishna for so many days and years, but nothing is coming, no imitation tears, no false tears, no alligator tears, not even one tear in the corner of our eye. And of course the second canto of Bhagavatam says that that dryness of the eyes is caused by dryness of the heart. If the heart is dry, the eyes will be dry. So you cannot produce water in a desert. So the desert-like heart filled with the burning sands of material desires cannot produce the tears of love of God. So therefore the second canto says that heart, that person who does not shed tears when he's chanting the holy name, his heart is dry, it's hard, it's case-hardened. It is steel-framed, hard, dry, cold, desert-like heart. And why? Because of offenses. This is the proof. If you want to know, am I offending the holy name or not? I think I'm doing all right. I'm not making any offenses. I rattle off the list of 10 offenses. Check, check, check. No, 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 no. Oh, I'm chanting without offense. But he says, second canto says, the proof that someone is chanting with offense, and that one's heart is steel framed and not soft and dry as a desert, is that when one chants the holy name, this is the proof that one is an abode of offenses, because when he chants the holy name, there's no transformation happens, there's no softening of the heart, there's no tears, nothing, there's no tears come, just chant and chant and chant. So therefore Lord Chaitanya has given us this prayer. Of course, on one level it's showing the level at Bhav. This happens at Bhav. But it's a very interesting word here, kada. In Shikshastakam, he's not just saying, okay, this happens at the level of asakti. Bhaktivinoda is saying, asakti means ai nandatana shakinkaram. At the level of asakti, which means attachment to Krishna, you become very attached to Krishna, the person. Not just Krishna, the concept, God, Bhagavan, seva. No, Krishna the person, with his personal likes and dislikes and his sweetness and his leela, you become attached to Krishna the person, not the what he represents, the godhood, or the power, or the sweetness, but actually the person himself. You become attached. And you become so attached that you're stuck on him. You're stuck on him like a piece of dirt stuck on the feet. Stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. So this happens at a sakti. Then you can say that this verse 6 means, and this happens when you're on the level of bhava. When one comes to the level of bhava, because this verse describes the symptoms of bhava. There's ashtashtvik bhavs. Ashtashtvik bhavs means 8 different symptoms of bhava. So these 8 things will happen, one by one or all together, depending on the extent of the bhava, the extent of the love. How many symptoms will manifest at one time? And what is the depth of those symptoms? You may cry a few tears for a few moments. You may cry oceans of tears for hours, depending on the extent of the love and the bhav and advancement. So that on one level, the 6th verse of Shikshastakam is saying, yes, when you come to the level of bhava, this will happen. Ashudharaya says, nayanam galad ashudharaya. Your eyes will, dharaya, they'll be wells of tears. Your eyes will be wells of tears. Wells. There'll be a well. Instead of full of water, your eyes will be well springs of tears. You'll be holding dharaya. You'll be holding tears. Ashu means prema ashu, bhava ashu. Your eyes will be like little balls floating in water. Your eyeballs are like if you have some basketball or some little plastic ball a child has and he throws it into a swimming pool and it floats around on top of the swimming pool and there's all this water under it. So the eyeball will be like a little blue, if you have blue eyes, you have a little blue ball, or brown eyes, a little brown ball. And it's just all this, holding all these tears, like unlimited wellsprings of tears. And then it says, Vadanam Gadgada. Vadana means the face, the mouth. Gadgada, you'll be choked up. Your voice will be choked up. Hairs on the body will stand on end. Pulakar, Nichitam, Vapukada. Vapu means the body. The hair will be standing up. So this happens at the level of bhav. One will experience this. It's experiential. It's experiential. It's not imagination. It's not a dream. It's real time. See, feel, touch, reality. You can see, oh, the hair's on end. My sikha is standing on end. Tears are falling from my eyes like torrents of rain. But then, what is the necessity for Lord Chaitanya to say, kada? He says, when? So now we have to look at this word. What is, why is he put this word in the Shikshastakam? The eight teachings, Shiksha, are they teachings to Lord? Are they teachings for Lord Chaitanya? They're teachings for us. He was Mahabhav Rasaraj Mahabhav. Talk about Bhav. He is Mahabhav. Sneha Man, Pranaya, Rag, Anurag, Bhav, Mahabhav. Moranakya, Mahanakya, Maranakya. He is Rasaraj Mahabhav. Mahabhavati. So much Mahabhavati. So he doesn't have to worry about when, kada. Oh, when will my eyes fill with tears? When will my voice choke up? So this kada is a shiksha, a teaching for the reader, for the practitioner, for the sadhaka, for us, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So this prayer is supposed to create hankering. Oh, I'm down here, and bhava, I'm down here in Anartha Nivritti, and bhava is up there. Bhava is a high stage. Developed stage, advanced stage of bhakti, pure devotion. But this word kada means when. Well, I'm reading about this. Well, when will this happen to me? When will I chant Nam Bhajan? When will I chant the holy name of the Lord? And when will tears flow? Nayanam Galardashadarya. Every day we say, Nayanam Galardashadarya, Varanam Gadgaravriyakira, Pulakarjana. When we recite the Shikshastakam. But where is our absorption in that, the meaning of that? Where are we thinking? Are we hoping? Are we praying? Are we praying to Nam Prabhu? O Sri Nam Prabhu? O Radha? O Krishna? Kada? When will that day come? When will these ecstatic experiences come? When will these tears flow from my eyes? When will I feel that? These are ecstatic, these are blissful, these are expressions of bliss. Expressions of the budding of bliss. The budding of love. And this is in fact the goal of our activities. We're working for this. We're endeavoring for this. We're trying for this. We're serving for this. We're praying for this. We're surrendering for this. We're acting for this. Prema Purma Artha Mahan. This is the only art. This is the only desirable object. The greatest desirable object. The Maha Art. Maha Art. The greatest object. The only attainment. Maha means the great, the supreme, the topmost attainment. A worthy object. Aim and objective. Of human existence is nothing but love of God, Krishna Prem. And the means to get that love of God is Nam Bhajan. And this whole book is 350, 400 pages about Nam Bhajan. So now we're standing at the doorway of Prem, on the threshold of Prem is Bhav. And we're saying, oh, Nam Prabhu, when? Kada, kada, kada krishyasi imam kripa kataksha bhajanam. When will that mercy come? When will you make me cry? When will you choke up my voice? Hare Krishna. When will this happen? But practically speaking, honestly speaking, most of us, we never think for one second like this. We don't think. We just blindly, dully go, Hare Krishna, blah, 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 this, that, the other thing. We think, this is not available to me, this is not for me, this is for, I don't know who, somebody, but not me. And Lord Chaitanya gave these teachings. I don't know. I memorized them, but I don't think they're for me. They must be for someone else. They're actually there for us. And this potential is available for every human being who is born in this Kali Yuga. In this Kali Yuga when Lord Chaitanya came. This is the Prem Yuga. This Kali Yuga is the Prem Kali Yuga. Prem Yuga Avatar. And only by His mercy do we have access to such lofty states of self-realization. It's only by mercy, Mahaprabhu Kripa. So it's available. Take His teachings, realize them, follow them. So this is now we're entering this discussion about bhava. So as we've done in the previous sections in each yama, we try to familiarize ourselves with a little bit about this stage of devotion, because we're going to talk about the stage of devotion called bhav. And we're going to talk about chanting the holy name of the Lord on the stage of bhav, and how to chant the holy name of the Lord and attain the stage of bhav. And in discussing these points, we're going to bring in discussion of Shikshastakam. And then we're going to bring in discussion of the sixth pair of holy names, Hari Ram and Hari Ram. So all of these points have to come together. So what we have done previously, we have the same standard. Let's give some review. We'll have some notes, review of this whole level of bhav. And I have some introduction here. These are collected from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinod and others, Acharyas. This particular prayer, the sixth prayer of Shikshastakam, Nayanam Galardashadarya, is an example of a type of prayer called Lalasamayi Vigyapti. Lalasamayi. Lalasamayi means, Mayi means full of, Mayi. Full of, saturated, constituted of, saturated with, full of, Lalasa. Lalasa means hankering. Hankering to attain, and vigyapti means submissive. So lalasamayi vigyapti means a submissive prayer to attain something. We are in one position and we want to attain another higher position, a better position. So this is a prayer. And that's generally the mode of prayers anyway. Oh God, dhanam dehi, oh Durga Ma, oh Ma, dhanam dehi, give me money. I'm in this impoverished position. Please lift me up and place me in a wealthy position, opulent position. Dhanam dehi. Then janam dehi. O Ma, Jai Mata Di, O Durga Ma, O Vaishnavi, O Vaishnavi, O Durga Ma, please give me janam. Please give me followers, because I'm running for office. I am running for prime minister. So I need lots of followers, lots of votes. So give me lots of votes. So we're usually asking for these things. That's our. So this is called a prayer of Lalasamayi Vigyapti. Lalasa means intense yearning, hankering. And Vigyapti, as I mentioned, means a submissive prayer. Therefore, what is this sixth verse of the Shikshastakam? Nayanam Galardasha Ashru Darya. It is a submissive prayer full of intense hankering. Hankering for what? Everyone's hankering. Hankering for new clothes, new jewelry, new job, new money. Everyone's hankering. This is the basic pendulum of the material world. The material world, there's the material world pendulum. Hankering, lamenting. Shochiti, kankshiti. Shochiti, kankshiti. Hankering, lamenting. Hankering for what we don't have. We're unfulfilled by our own nature. We are not Atmaram, most of us. We're empty. There's some emptiness within us. There's some void, some emptiness. So we have to fill it. We have to become complete. We are incomplete. Alone, we are incomplete. So we have to complete ourselves. Round out our life. Man needs woman. Woman needs man. They think that this is the way to complete oneself. Yin and yang. Prakriti and Purusha. Positive and negative. Predominated and predominator. So we're unfulfilled by our nature, by our conditioned nature. We're unfulfilled. So we seek fulfillment. We seek completion. We seek this satisfaction. Because by nature we are dissatisfied. Unfulfilled. So this intense yearning and hankering, this prayer is that. Hankering for what? After this bhava, which is discussed here, or rati, it's also called rati, rati or bhava, manifest in the heart, an intense hankering will come to serve Krishna in a particular way, according to one's tahi bhav, which means his personal devotional mellow. So now we're serving Krishna, and we're doing what we're asked to do, and we're carrying out different services. We don't really have any personal inspiration to serve Krishna in a particular individual way coming from within our heart. But when one comes to the level of bhava, then he becomes introduced to his siddhadeha through chanting of Shudradam, or by the mercy of Bhakti Devi, of course it's all mercy of Guru, or through the mercy of Guru, by his indirect mercy, through these means, or by his direct mercy of giving his initiation in this way, then one will become familiar with his own individual loving relationship with the Lord in the mood of conjugal love, in the mood of friendly love, or in the mood of parental love. These are the rasas of Vrindavan, Braj Bhakti, Vatsalya Ras, Madhurya Ras, Sakhi Ras. And then when one becomes familiar that I have this particular relationship, then one arises in his heart, well, I have this relationship and I have this particular form. I want to serve the Lord in this particular way, in this rasa, in my siddhadeha, as was being said. So a hankering comes to serve the Lord in a particular way. And the Guru, of course, examines all of this. Now it's like, how would you like to serve Krishna? Oh, I don't know. Sometimes the Guru will ask even a beginning disciple, what would you like to do? What service, bona fide, authorized or accepted service within the realm of service, what would you really like to do to serve Krishna, to please Him? And sometimes, most devotees don't have much clear idea. Because His service, the bond of service, relationship of service with the Lord has not been firmly established. There's too many coverings of other desires. So this there's one note here that Krishna, of course, this all comes as a gift from Krishna. Krishna does not give prema or love to a devotee until his longing to attain it becomes very intense. So this is a lalasamayi. Lalasamayi, we're saturated with intense longing, hankering. I really want love of Krishna, a loving service, the prem seva Radha and Krishna. I want this more than anything else. But now it's in a conditioned state, it's a very vague concept. It's very vague and unclear. What is this Krishna prema? What is this prem seva? How will it be executed? And what way, and what shape, and where do I fit in, and how will I engage in this way? So it's very vague. So therefore, if something is very vague and unclear, one cannot be very convinced about it. One cannot be very determined to attain it. And certainly one cannot be intensely hankering for something he doesn't even know. If you're unclear and unsure about something, you can't intensely hanker for it. But if you see, if you walk by the jewelry store every day and you see in the jewelry store a very beautiful diamond ring with a very interesting setting, and you look at that and you see clearly what the object is. This is a diamond ring and this will look so nice on my finger or whatever. And then you can intensely desire to have that. You know clearly what the object is and you know that this can be attained if I have enough money or if I break the window, if I steal it, break the window and steal it. So you have a very clear conception of what is that object, what does it mean, what will it do for me, what will I do for it, or whatever, what our relationship will be. So then it becomes easier, in one sense, to move in the direction of attaining it. So the definition of ideal. It's called definition of the ideal. We have to define the ideal that we're striving for. It's called the sadhya. So there's a verse here, although this is part of the introduction, there's a verse here, text 9, that's helpful. The same point. This eagerness, this yearning is, because the nature of Kali Yuga is laziness. This is described, manda sumanda matiya manda bhagyu padrata. The symptoms of Kali Yuga are laziness, inertia, lack of movement, procrastination, putting things, they have even phrases, they say, don't do today what you can put off until tomorrow. Don't do today what you can put off until tomorrow. It's called procrastination. Do it later. So there's all-pervasive laziness, ignorance, darkness in this age of Kali, and we're in it. We are subject to it. We are surrounded by it. We are made of it. We are saturated with it. Manda sumanda matayo. Laziness begins with laziness in the mind. When the mind is lazy, the body is lazy. When the mind is enthused, the body is enthused. And then laziness is in the intelligence. We're stupid. We're dumb. We're dull. We don't know really anything. We're so much in illusion about our own spiritual and metaphysical identity. So therefore, with all these deficiencies, it's very difficult to manifest something called hankering. Hankering, yearning. Because hankering and yearning are symptoms of rajagun, at least materially speaking, hankering for material things. It's called lobha, lobha-mayi. Lobha-mayi means, and just an external way, it means saturated with greed. Greed means intense hankering. I must have this car. No matter what, I'm possessed by this idea. This car is too nice. I want to have a blue one with white seats. And then you see pictures of it and you hear about it and you become crazy. So this is at least passion, but even passion is very much less. Only a handful of people in Kali Yuga are even passionate. And they become the leaders. They become the leaders. They become the tycoons. And the rest, most of the majority of the people in Kali Yuga are Shudras. 95% of the people in Kali Yuga are Shudras. No matter what the Varna is, it says, Janma, Janma, Jayate Shudra. It says, by birth, everyone is a Shudra in Kali Yuga. We have another phrase, Kalo Shudra Sambhava. Kalo Shudra Sambhava. Kalo, in the age of Kali, Shudra Sambhav. Most people have the mentality, nature, inclination, habits of a Shudra. What is that? Laziness. Prone to be lazy. Prone to intoxication. Prone to illusion. The tendency to be lazy. The tendency to get intoxicated, drunk, high, stoned, whatever. And the tendency to be illusioned. This is pervasive. This is the predominant mode and mood of Kali Yuga. So when we start talking about hankering for Krishna, so now we come into the devotional line, and he's saying, kada, kada, when, listen, devotees, hanker, hanker, yearn for this. Have intense yearning and hankering for this bhav, for these symptoms to manifest while chanting and serving. Guru, guru seva, Vaishnava seva, nam seva. Then we say, oh, I know I should hanker for these things, but really I'm just too lazy. It's all I can do is to stay awake. I eat a little bit, I run around a little bit, make a little money, and I go to sleep. This is my life. Eat, sleep, and be merry. Or something like that. It used to be drink, but people are too lazy to even drink. Just eat, sleep, and be merry. So then, this is a call to arms. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving a call to arms. Oh, listen, come on, there's a war going on. Why? Don't be lazy. Hey, Jeev Jago, Uto, Uto. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Gora Chandra, Bole. Lord Chaitanya is saying, hey, get up, you ignorant fool, you stupid sleeping nonsense. Jeev Jago, your soul is sleeping. Jeev Jago, Gora Chandra, Bole. This is Bole, this is what he's saying. Gora Chandra is saying, you're a Kali Yugite. You're lazy, Mandasimana Matiyo. You're indifferent. You're indifferent. You're complacent. These are very popular words in Kali Yuga. Complacency, indifference, laziness, lethargy, inertia. I don't feel like it. Oh, Kaveri, would you like to go to the temple, Mangalarti? No, oh, I don't feel like it. Do you want to go to Vrindavan? I don't feel like it. Which means I'm lazy as a whatever, bear or something. What's a lazy animal? Lazy, every animal. So this is a very common phrase in Kali Yuga. You must have heard it at least a million times. From your own mind, at least a billion times. And from your friends and associates, a million times. Well, come on, let's go. Come on, let's get together. And we'll go around Brickham. Oh, I'm tired. I'm too tired. I'm lazy. I mean, we don't say lazy. Oh, I'm too tired. Oh, my leg hurts. Oh, my stomach hurts. Oh, my head hurts. So this is symptomatic. It's quite obvious. We're laughing, but we're only laughing at ourselves. We're laughing. We are resident. We are bona fide. We are bona fide. We're bona fide, authorized, certified, stamped resonants of Kali Yuga. We if the shoe fits, wear it, and we're wearing it. I am ikdam number one lazy man, and you're ikdam number one lazy lady. So we're made for each other. So let's get married and laze around. So now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes along with the Shikshastakam and makes a call to arms. Hey, cut out! Hey, what are you doing? Why aren't you crying? Why your hair is not standing in end? Why aren't you trembling, quivering, falling, stumbling on the ground? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What's with you, you lazy bum? Jeev Jago. Gora Chandra Bole. Wake up. Get in action. It's like Monday blues, what do they call it? The blues, try to go to work on Monday or something after the weekend. It's like people can't get going. It takes 15 coffee breaks, and Monday it's not till 2 o'clock in the afternoon anything gets done in the office. People come in at 10, they wake up by 12, they take lunch, and they're half dead after lunch. They come back at 1, take 5 cups of coffee, and then 2 o'clock they start doing something in the office on Monday. Every employer knows that. The only way to get any work out of someone in Kali Yuga is to give them a drug. No one in Kali Yuga will work without a drug. And there's 1 billion drug addicts in India. What is that drug? Coffee and tea. Because if they don't have their drug, they don't work. You see it, and every employer knows it. That's why he gives free tea. He has a little shudra comes around with no teeth and bold, bony legs, and he says, "Tea, sir? Oh yes, put it next to my computer." Then you drink that drug, and you start punching out the keys and get all excited. And then the boss looks about 3 hours later. Oh, they're getting a little slow. Hey, send the tea around. Gives you a shot of tea in your mouth. They never give you tea when you're leaving. They don't say, "Oh, it's 5 o'clock, you're leaving work. Oh, have a cup of tea." No, because then you'll get all excited to go home and be with your wife. And they don't make any money from that. They only make money when you're in the office slaving like an ass. So they keep jacking you. It's called jacking you up. The 10 o'clock tea, the 12 o'clock tea, the 2 o'clock tea, the 4 o'clock tea. If you stop distributing tea in India, India will cease to exist. There's no more work. Every factory closed. Every computer office closed. Every teacher quits the job. No more schools. They go in the teacher's room and drink tea and come back and say, "Okay, students, ha ha ha." And then after the class, they go into the teacher's room and drink tea and they come in, "Students, ha ha ha." This is the thing. This is a fact. These are the facts. So they have to. Someone is a dead man, you have to give an electric shock to bring him back to life. So people are all dead. They're dead in the office. They're lazy dead. Brain dead. Body dead. So give them a shot. And who knows what they put in the tea. Maybe they add a little other stuff in there too. "Oh yeah, have some tea, sir." "Wow, this is really good tea." know, like you're wide awake. Say, listen, we have to, Saturday you have to come in and do overtime. We have a production. We have to meet our production schedule. We have an overtime. So then, somehow on Saturday, this tea tastes, it's very special. Then you're up there at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Completely drugged to the max. This is all done to counteract the intense laziness. The body is totally lethargic in this age of Kali. So these same bodies we're bringing into the devotional line, to the bhakti line. These gross, grossly lazy, foolish, stupid, ignorant bodies, trying to push them towards Krishna. It's very difficult. Very, very difficult. So, we're out of time. But we're warming up to this verse 6. We'll probably be on verse on this chapter 6 for the next few years. So, any questions on this? Nayanam garadashudarya varanam gadgaravriya kriya pulakar nichijambhu kata tavanamagrahane vishati. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.